Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk eating organic, raising life expectancy, and what it takes to be an MMA star with fighter Ian McCall. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
Welcome, Fit Clubbers. We are back with an exciting new episode. I want to thank my friend Ian McCall for joining us here.
Thank you for having me.
So it's going to be a very interesting episode. We're talking fighting. We're talking McGregor. We're talking Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz.
Yes, they're coming back.
What year are we in? Anyways, guys, my name is Shaka Smith. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Ms. TK Trinidad.
What's up, guys? My name is TK. Well, you already said my name. TK Trinidad, just in case you didn't get it the first time.
And Mr. McCall, where can they find you online?
It's at Uncle Creepy MMA. It's my former nickname.
I was saying, before we get into the stories, Uncle Creepy, tell me how you got this name.
Okay, so this is going to come off bad to start, but it was like 3 in the morning, and there was like a 5-year-old, and it's my nephew. You know, he calls me Uncle Ian. Well, everyone else is wasted, and I'm the sober driver for the night, for the weekend, or whatever it was, and Uncle Ian, and I always made fun of everybody. Speaking of Chuck Liddell and them, I made fun of everyone who has a nickname because nicknames are silly to me and they're stupid. Especially if you give yourself a nickname, ooh, you're going to freeze me.
Yeah, the Iceman.
But of course, he says, Uncle Creepy. And everyone sat up out of their drunken stupor and was like,
oh, no.
That's it.
And it's done.
Yeah, and I just got sounds bad. I just got out of rehab for the second time. So I was sober and I was bored and I was like, I'm going to fight again, whatever. And then that's when I had my launch to win a world title and stuff. So
Uncle Creepy, I dig it.
It was a joke. The first fight, I just put it on there, and people loved it.
It's like those first like usernames you get when new programs come out, but you don't realize it'll stick with you for like 20 years.
Yeah, it's one of those things. But I'm retired now, so I just have it as my social media because that's
well, you might come back looking at Liddell and Ortiz. You know, never say never, right?
No, I don't want to come back. No. I have no interest in fighting ever.
Well, maybe you might come back into this first story because they're finding that living longer through exercise and more actually is better. This first article came out, and they said that, you know, obviously exercise protects against heart disease, sarcopenia, which is losing muscle due to aging, cancer, obesity. But people wonder, is there a limit? And they're finding that people that actually exercise the longest are living anywhere from 5.5 years longer on average and have 16.2 years younger telomeres. And telomeres are those little caps on the end of the chromosome that kind of indicate what your age are.
Dr. Rhonda Patrick told me all about that, or she taught me via podcast.
Yeah, so I mean, this is kind of what is determining our aging, sort of what's determining the way we're looking at new programs going forward to reduce aging. And so it looks like actually more is better when it comes to exercise. Of course, the caveat is don't overtrain so that you break something or injure yourself.
Right. And that's what fighters do. That's what athletes – well, I mean especially fighters because fighters have to do multiple sports.
Yeah.
You know, they're wrestling. They're doing jiu-jitsu. They're kickboxing. They're mixing it all together or varying, you know, two things and just taking out takedowns and boxing or whatever it is. And you got to think you have a bunch of people trying to hurt each other for money, for a living, you know, like it's a fist fight.
Yeah.
And it takes it out of your body.
And how did you protect yourself from overtraining? Because there's that push and pull where you probably mentally want to train more and physically feel like you can, but you know.
I actually had to leave my old gym.
Yeah.
Because my old coach, who's built myself, Tito Ortiz, Carlos Esparza, Shane Del Rosario, I mean, Romeo Danza, so many amazing champions. But it was too much. I'm like, dude, I can't do this anymore. It's too hard on my body. Like, I left on good terms. I went to a private gym at Ruka.
Yeah.
But the last part of my career, I was in such good shape, and my body was so perfectly well tuned. The results were horrible out in Japan. But I learned to train smarter.
Yeah.
All my cardio, or most of my cardio, was in the pool.
Yeah.
You know, I would use stuff like that, so I'd have less.
Wear and tear.
Wear and tear my body because I know how to fight.
Yeah.
I was just going over technique. That was pretty much all I ever did was technique.
How many hours a day were you training for with your first gym and then when you kind of the last part?
Oh, man. Actual training time. See, people always go, I train 8 hours a day. No, you don't. No, you don't, man. It's you're training maybe 2 hours in the morning, maybe 2 hours at night, maybe an hour in the middle, so 4 or 5 hours. That's hard. That sucks.
Yeah, and they find that the CDC baseline is basically 150 minutes of moderate exercise or 75 minutes of vigorous exercise, and they found that there was no letdown even doing 10 times that much in terms of effect on your life expectancy.
Yes. Wow, that's
and so I thought that was amazing. Of course, they're looking at a lot of marathoners for this. Yeah, like ultra marathoners.
Like, who are they talking? This is not like the average population. You could barely get average somebody work out for an hour.
Yeah, so they were looking. They looked at ultra marathoners on some studies. Other studies actually had people come in and did a treadmill test to determine their amount of activity.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was really interesting. So at least on that edge, you know, we might live a little bit longer, but we might be in bad shape.
I rolled with a 72-year-old. Shout out to Judo Jim. With a 72-year-old the other day. He was actually right about to turn 72 the next day.
Yeah.
And I got fucking after him. I mean, he taught this all this stuff, and I'd heard him, and I've never met him before, and I was like, oh, okay, this is him, okay. And at the very last rolling session, he's like, you want to roll? I was like, okay. I got ready. I couldn't catch him.
What?
Old man just was so good and technically balanced and, you know, judo black belt, jiu-jitsu black belt. And I was like, I tried to get after him, and he wasn't having it.
He just never let up on the train.
And that just showed me that I was like, I wasn't even planning to live to your age. And now I'm like, wow, I hope I'm that age and rolling like that.
Yeah, I will say I get inspired by older people in the gym who are still in shape because I was like, okay, that's still possible, so I'm going to continue to work out just knowing that I could do that.
Yeah, exactly. I think the difference is like you have the people who take those long breaks in between because of life and they feel like they can't fit it in.
Yeah.
And so it's just that makes the difference, like, okay, well, you can't get to the gym, but you can do something at home and, you know, the motivation, all this other stuff. So there's a drastic difference between somebody that's 77 and could do all that work versus somebody who took a long break like 20 years.
Yeah,
you know,
then it's
and then they try to. And it's like, you're not 21, you're not going to bounce. No. You took 20 years off, so it's going to take you a minute to kind of like get back into it.
We should really start slow. I mean, that's my one of my jobs I have in life is as a fitness professional. I work for Lifetime Fitness. I was telling you, it's 180,000 square feet. It's the nicest gym in the country. Nicest gym I've ever been to. It's in Laguna Niguel.
Yeah, check this place out.
It's absurd. They have everything. Med spa, amazing trainers and facility, and they can do VO2 max testing and blood testing and all this crazy stuff. And then they have super healthy food there. And
so you're there for all like the entire day. That's your gym session.
The pool goes off on the weekends. My buddy who got me the job is the bartender.
Is the bar?
Wow. And there's a bar.
I mean, I'm telling you, you would see this place. I'll show you a picture. It's insane.
That's a gym awesome. That you'd want to work at. Like, they have good food. Then you finish the day off.
Hang
and
out there all day.
And that's the most important part, I think, of a gym is that you want to go. You know, and that's a hard part to, to
and
do.
And it's full of, you know, the wealthiest people around. So
yeah, of course, naturally.
Why not?
We'll wait for that invite.
Yeah. Come on down.
Well, they do find what is worse than smoking, heart disease, and diabetes is not exercising. So I hate to be like, you
sedentary
know,
lifestyle is the worst.
Yeah, I hate to be the fear monger here, but it's true. They looked at 122,000 people between 1991 and 2014. So this was like a long study. And they found that these people were basically, if you were in the most sedentary population versus the highest activity population, your chances of premature death were up 500%. Versus smoking, it was three times higher than those that smoked. And if it was just like worked out a little bit, it was 390% that were more prone to premature death than those that worked out just a little bit. So it's showing that there's a huge gulf when you're just sedentary.
Your body just hates it. Like I don't know how some people like doing it, but it's like with my daughter, for instance. You know, she was diagnosed at 2.5 with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. She cannot be sedentary. She has so much energy. She can't.
That's a tough diagnosis for a kid.
But, it, you know, diet, exercise, get her off all the medications the doctors give her, and cannabis oil, and she's all better.
And you were saying with your diet, you were, like, focusing on, like, a keto-centric diet that helps?
Keto-centric is the word. because, you know, having a full keto diet's hard.
Yeah, that's
I mean, you have 80, 90% fat. Like, it's for hospitals. We eat a lot of fat, a lot of meat, vegetables, and they're all the vegetables are grown in my parents' backyard.
Nice.
I mean, it's nice because it's a beach house, but they have a big enough little spot like that's got some beautiful, beautiful gardens. And then my dad fishes, I hunt, you know, we try and get the best food. We really, my mom's a chef. She was a chef for Robert Mondavi.
Oh, wow.
Wine. Okay. And Robert himself at Event Center. And so, you know, we eat really well.
Yeah.
My diet is on point. And I have to have a good diet. My daughter has to have a good diet. Even my ex fiance, actually, she had epilepsy. So we all ate keto-centric, and it just worked. It makes me feel better. I've got, you know, brain issues that we all do. I've been punched in the face for the last 20 years straight. Eating a keto diet helps.
Yeah.
that type of, you know, the fats and everything.
And I think it's like you read these stories. I think it's like farm to table, because the next story is about eating organic, cutting the cancer risk. Mm-hmm. I think what you're getting is like food that you're preparing and making yourself. And I think that's so important, especially nowadays.
Yeah, I think we just need to first get off of the packaged stuff. Oh, I think that's the biggest problem. Like, if we can just stop eating the packaged stuff and then just start eating, you know, even if it's not organic, it's still better than, you know, something that's, you know, all through the middle aisles.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people, it's just a quick fix, and, you know, you don't plan ahead and all that stuff. Like, I feel the difference when I have stuff that's just straight vegetables, and, you know, I have it, it's all prepared, and I know what I'm going to do. Yeah. It's, you know, simple, versus like, oh, I'm just going to have this pizza. Yeah. No, it's not. It doesn't work
not
well.
How it works.
Yeah.
And they looked at this, they looked at 68,000 French adults, and maybe they got worse non-organic food, I don't know. But they looked French at 68,000 French adults.
I figured they would get better, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, they divided them up into, you know, how they eat. So some of them buy organic, some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that in this group, there are 1,340 cancers developed. The most prevalent was postmenopausal breast cancer, then prostate cancer, then colorectal cancer, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So when you eat organic, it actually cuts down these risks for all of these diseases, it seems. Even skin cancer as well is one of the cancers as well.
Weird, all the stuff they put on our other vegetables and fruit.
Yeah, and then we see that we have these spikes in these diseases, and we're not really sure how or why, especially you think you're eating healthy, but maybe not eating organic.
Right. I would love to see this in America, because overseas they're still processed, but the standards are a little bit like stringent, a little bit more stringent.
Yeah.
So here
it might be even worse.
I'm willing to bet it's worse.
Yeah.
Because even in Canada, at one point when I was training for the football team, I could tell the difference between like meats here and meats in Canada.
Yeah.
Like the different, like just. I was 11% body fat, so it was a long time ago. But you know, you can tell the difference of as far as standards. So I mean, here, you know, they're poisoning us.
Yeah, it sucks.
But I feel like we're getting a little bit of a balance. I'm in LA, so maybe
LA is another world.
I think there's a push to kind of push companies to being a little bit better and healthier, making their bottom line having to meet those standards.
Here, yes. Yeah. In Southern California, yes. Mm-hmm. Everyone's, you know, pushing for that. But you go to places like Texas.
Yeah.
People don't give a fuck. You know, they don't care. And it's just,
It's a way of life.
It's a way of life, you know, and there's things they eat and do. I mean, sure, you go to somewhere like Austin. I think Austin's the best city in the world, to be honest with you. I've been everywhere. So shout out to Onnit. But, you know, they just, you know, the Midwest in general, I don't know how they, you know, I don't know how they live like that, just the stuff they eat. And I've always been healthy my whole life. My parents have always been very healthy. So it's always been a lifestyle for me. And then being a professional athlete, I always minded my P's and Q's. Being an athlete in high school and college, I traveled with a nutritionist and chef for my, you know, the latter part of my career. So I learned.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
Did that make things a lot easier for you when you had the nutritionist and chef? Cause, I mean, I've,
oh, yeah.
I imagine, but like, how has that changed and that difference?
He, number one, he was my friend.
Yeah.
And I like weird people. People are like, you like Eric? I'm like, of course I like Eric. No, it's me. He's weird, and he just would sit around and smoke weed and cook me food. Nice. And like, I don't care, you know, like, I'm not gonna smoke fight week.
Yeah.
And he was so smart with it. Like, I mean he's one of the, he was working with Tyga, I think, or Demi Lovato, a few other people up here in LA. He works up in like a Malibu area. And it's super good, and I like hearing people's approach to things. I like learning.
And it took out all the guesswork.
It took out all the, especially during fight week.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah,
cause sucks.
Because I used to compete, and I never hired anyone because I just didn't trust anyone to know my body better than me or trust in nutrition. But it would be nice to have someone you trust, to be able to like not think
it's
about it.
It's awesome.
It's great.
Like, you just think, well, I dated a football player who had a chef, so I didn't afford the chef. But he would prepare the food as we're talking, so you can see.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it was just like, you're just there. And it's like, this is fantastic.
I see the glee on your face.
It's reminiscing, man.
What do you want that's healthy? I'd be like, I want French toast or I want fried chicken. And he would make like
A variation
of it. Oh, that's, you know, awesome. Coconut shavings or whatever. And it would just, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
You're so good at this. Like, thank you.
Note to self.
Brings a tear to your
eye. That'll be my first, like, I've made it purchase, I guess, or buy. But we also want to talk about Conor McGregor. I want to get some of your thoughts on this recent fight, maybe some other ones as well. But McGregor recently posted what he believed was sort of his breakdown of the fight. And I just want to know if you had the same sort of, you know, feeling about it. Do we have the breakdown up there? Oh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that's his breakdown.
So, yeah, he talked about kind of round one and round two and how he kind of gave some rounds away. What did you think about his assessment of the fight? What did you think about the fight in general? And then, obviously, the post-fight we'll
talk about. Yeah, I mean, I don't get along with the Russians. And then, I mean, we've got very public, like, they tried to punk me. I'm like, no, motherfuckers, you're not going to punk me. There's a long story. You know, the whole age thing about his agent?
Yeah.
Well, I was the first person to ever call him a terrorist snitch years ago because he's a fucking terrorist snitch. Go check out my podcast with Mike Russell, Storytime with Uncle Creepy, and he breaks it all down, and it's insane how shady that dude is. But anyways, they tried to punk me because I was talking shit on him. I'm like, no. But as a fighter, Khabib is a savage. He is the bear. And Conor just – he'll beat Conor every time. And I like Conor a lot. Yeah. I just asked Conor for a bottle of whiskey. So hopefully he sends me one.
I was like, that might have just gotten so bad.
I sent him some CBD products, so he loves them.
Nice.
But, you know, that whole situation was insane.
This is crazy.
I was shocked he had the energy to go and continue fighting. I was just like,
Well, he punked Conor. Yeah. That was the thing. That guy can go for days. I've heard him and Cormier go at it back and forth, and I don't know if that's true. But I wouldn't doubt it.
Wow.
You know, he is a stud. And it's just he's the archetypal person to beat Conor.
Wow.
Like, there's no other way around it.
And he's passionate about, like, his conviction. So,
and,
I mean.
Yeah.
Look, and me, I used to be a heavy MMA fan. Yeah. Recent years, not as much. But, of course, I followed McGregor and Diaz. And I love that fight. And I kind of think Diaz got robbed in the last one, but
either way,
one of the things that was notable was that Diaz was actually smoking from a pen afterwards, and he was asked about it. I think he actually got maybe some little small fine or something because of the CBD he was smoking, but it wasn't in competition, so there was
I think they talked about it, but it didn't actually happen.
Yeah, that there was some sort of, because he admitted on air with CBD.
Which is just so stupid.
But now it's legal in the UFC, and you're kind of leading the charge.
I am, and no one really knows that.
Yeah.
Because I haven't told anybody. Until now, but
exclusive.
I am the one that's. I've been working with Jeff Nowitzki.
Yeah.
I just got off the phone with him. I'm like, hey, what can I say? What can I say? Just tell him everything.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, so I work with a company called ElixSecure.
Yeah,
and on top of working with BudTrader.com, this is a company that I'm invested in as well, like BudTrader. But when I met these people and I saw how efficient their business was, I was like, okay, this is serious. And I was already talking to Jeff about getting CBD stuff set up. So I use the cream, and it is hands down the best cream on the market for pain. And, the UFC started to use it. They love it. And Jeff has walked me through the process of being the very first cannabis company to ever even inquire about getting third-party certification. If you want to have a supplement in an Olympic room or in the NCAAs, NFL, you have to have third-party certifications. BSCG, I think, is one of them. I can't remember the other acronym.
Guys are obtaining this now?
We're obtaining them as we speak, and we'll have them soon. And then it's off to the races. I have someone like Jeff Nowitzki in drug testing.
Yeah.
He's the guy. He's the guy who busted Lance Armstrong, and he's this amazing person. And he's my friend.
Yeah.
I mean, he sat by my bedside when I was in the hospital in two different countries. Like, he's a good man.
And I like that UFC is kind of leading the way on this. Because
they want to legalize cannabis in general. They want their fighters to be able to.
Oh,
I didn't know that. Because they know it's beneficial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No one fights high. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Just be responsible, bro. Don't do you don't have to be stoned for this. Because a lot of us train high.
Yeah.
It's
pain relief,
I guess. And you get in the zone. And whatever. That's just what, fighters do.
Yeah.
Fighters smoke a lot of weed. And,
continue.
Oh, no. I'm just saying that Jeff has walked me through this process to become this company and go from there. I mean, then there's the NFL.
Yeah.
And because my whole goal in life is to help out my sport.
Yeah.
Look at any other sport. Surfing, skateboarding, motorcycles, race car driving, baseball. Well, those guys make enough money. They don't have to do anything after. But most sports, especially action sports, or, because we're kind of in the action sports realm, but not quite, everyone takes care of their own.
Yeah.
and the UFC or MMA in general doesn't.
Yeah.
No one gets jobs. I think I'm trying to figure something out. Number one, I'm trying to create products that make a better life for these young fighters,
mm-hmm.
like a post-fight serum that Jeff actually asked me to make for the company.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You need to make this because Dr. Leif something out of Harvard sat in front of the WBC, the World Boxing Council, mm-hmm. a day before our meeting,
yeah.
and he said that, you know, post-fight, these fighters have to have so much CBD in their system post-fight so they don't have brain damage, CTE, all that stuff. That gives me purpose.
Yeah.
Now I'm retired, and that gives me purpose to help out these young fighters and then hopefully provide them, you know, people with something that takes care of them at least while they're fighting. Mm-hmm. Then I got to figure out what to do with them after.
Yeah. And then when did you shift your focus from just, you know, getting high with the boys and realizing, wait a minute, there's actually something medical here.
And wrestling around in our underwear.
Yeah. Until realizing, wait, there's actually some medical benefit here and there's a way to do it, you know, non-psychoactively. How did that transition happen?
So I've known that for a long time. And I remember my daughter was diagnosed, you know, at 2.5 mm-hmm. with rheumatoid arthritis. And she couldn't walk, couldn't think straight. You can tell there's depression with it. My little ninja that I've created, you know, she's doing jiu-jitsu and soccer and riding horses, and she's a savage. It's my daughter. I raised her by myself, you know, for most of her life. And she couldn't walk. And the doctors gave her methotrexate, which is a chemotherapy drug. And I was like, no, this can't work. I talked to doctors, scientists, nutritionists, athletes who have RA, and they said, get her off the drugs, number one, and give, you know, diet, exercise, or diet is the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then once she's feeling better, get her to start moving. Once she starts moving, don't let her stop until she goes to sleep.
Yeah.
Run her into the ground. And then was CBD. And this was, my daughter's almost 7, so she was 2. There was, I mean, this whole genre has just blown up.
Yeah.
Well, even, you know, 4 years ago, there was no milligram.
Yeah.
It was X's. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? I can't have an X on there. So I would call my friends because I've been in the cannabis industry for a long time, my whole life. I've always been around it. I started smoking pot at 8, which isn't...
At 8?
I'm not recommending that for anybody. My daughter's turning 7 right now, and I look at it, I'm like, oh my God, I was 8. I'm like,
oh my God.
It's a head twister, but... I knew that it worked, and then the whole thing with Dr. Sanjay Gupta came out, and... you know, my dad already knew it helped. My parents did. You know, my girlfriend at the time was like, well, why is she not taking this? I'm like, I'm working on it. Don't worry about it. But it works. You know, my kid's in remission.
Yeah.
And we have an actual CBD line coming out for kids for her. It's called London's Life.
Oh, nice.
So she'll have her own little – she can be – it's hers.
And you guys, you work with third-party testers because – or
yes.
Because for me, I've gotten so much CBD product from different companies to try – and some work amazingly, and others don't quite work. And,
can
but
you
they're
hook
the same.
Me up with the painkiller ones? Like, geez.
I think we got you some CBD.
Well, no, we got so Budtender came and he got gave us this Budtenders came and he gave us this huge bag of stuff. And I'm not familiar with marijuana, but I really just want. I don't think the oil wasn't that. That was the only thing I kind of really want
we'll
for
have to
my pain.
Some oil.
Like everything else, people ram the bag. I just use the bag. Everybody else rams it.
I get so much free stuff, and I know people come over and just.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Because they know I don't smoke. They're just all in the bag. But what I did want to ask, as far as, like, even with athletes, like when I tore my hamstrings, I was on, it was like 800 milligrams, like ibuprofen, but I was taking it 4 times a day, stuff like that. And that obviously is in the system, right? As far as taking the CBD as far as a pain killer, is it like a masking agent? So even if you do work, like if you work out, you still may get injured because you just don't feel it? Or what's the,
has there been
testing with that?
What it does, it's an anti-inflammatory.
Okay.
And you have cannabinoid receptors in your body. And I'm gonna bro science this pretty bad, but it is a painkiller.
Okay.
I mean, it does legitimately relieve pain. You know, I mean, I look at my hand.
I noticed
like
that.
Yeah, I've noticed like 10 injuries. Just
he's wearing a jacket.
Yeah, and it's just you know, like I had four, you know, everything was torn in my shoulder.
Yeah,
I tore my hip, my groin, my knee. I fractured and dislocated my elbow, so every joint on my right side. But as a painkiller, it works. You just got to figure out what sort of, do you want it with THC? Do you want to be stoned, or do you want a 25-1 or a 5-1? You know, CBD to THC. Kind of figure out, or you don't want any THC. like kids or like athletes can't have any THC, especially at the moment. So this is all you can take, but it still works, especially if it's full spectrum.
And without the toxicity of like an Advil or ibuprofen on the liver.
Yeah. I just want to wake up stomach, in the morning.
Your gut biome. Yeah. I mean, it's Advil is so bad for you. And I know a lot about the stomach because I have H. pylori. And it's a stress-related bacteria that grows in your stomach. A lot of people have it, but mine puts me in the hospital. If I have a stressful week, I end up in the hospital. Wow. So I have to smoke. Yeah. Like that's just it's the only thing that works. But you know, I actually just finished some antibiotics. I had an infection in my face because I had some broken teeth from my life. But I never take antibiotics, and now I'm like, shit. I'm around all these people constantly in the gym. That's huge, and touching everybody. And I'm like, oh god. So I'm loading. Now I'm trying to rebuild my gut biome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I can feel it. Or maybe I'm just being dramatic, but I swear I feel it being like off.
Well, no, it's huge. I mean, on the show we hear a lot about the gut biome and how much it affects your health, from weight to autoimmune diseases and depression as well. So yeah, gut biome is huge.
Yeah.
And so you want to be taking everything that feeds that, and nothing that takes away from it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And one thing that I've been dealing with a lot lately is peptides.
I've heard about peptides.
It's just good science. I mean, it's not even cheating. You know, like that's what I tell people. And they're like, was it though? It's like steroids? I'm like, no, it's just good science.
Are they combining this with the CBD?
You know what? That's actually something I've looked into, but you can't take them. They're not water soluble.
Ah, gotcha.
So, I'm working on it,
actually. He's got it in the pipeline. Yeah,
I've positioned myself before I retired in some very good ways.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm having Jeff walk me through all this stuff and, you know, getting to invest in a company like ElixirCure and working with a company like BudTrader where I can have a voice and I can better the world around me. There's a little world I'm in. I don't want it big. I want a little one. But, if I can positively affect the world around me, I can help people get better and healthier, not just physically but mentally. And you know, some people, you know, they look great and they're bummed out, depressed. Some fighters. I had a young fighter come to me a while back, and we were traveling the world, of course. And he's like, hey, you know, I hear you know, you're the weed guy, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm the weed guy in the UFC. And, I gave him a bottle of 3,000 milligrams because he was talking about his depression and how it's all everything else and how it was, you know, just affecting him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that scares me. Like, I definitely have brain damage. But, you know, you deal with mood swings and depression and all that stuff. And even if your brain damage isn't that bad, you still got a smidge.
Yeah.
You know, but after a week, he was like, dude, I feel way better.
Yeah.
And now all the time I see him posting, oh, CBD this, CBD that. I'm like, see, I told you.
And sometimes the brain can, in fact, repair. Like, we don't know everything about the brain. So maybe if you get it some time to reduce inflammation, it might start to repair.
What helped me was, again, the peptide BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor.
Oh, wow.
And it coats your brain. From what I'm told, it's harder for it to break the blood-brain barrier, but it actually coats your brain and prevents seizures. Like, I actually got my ex off of seizure medicine with it.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, it's not comfortable prevent a prick yourself with something, but it's not like some big crazy thing. But, you know, to help her feel better and not have
seizures. Yeah, it's small.
Yeah, I mean, shit. Okay, I'll do that for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
cool.
Crazy. But we do have to talk a little bit about Liddell and Ortiz.
Yes,
and I'm hoping you ship these guys lots of CBD.
yes, I just brought Chuck some stuff.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my. Liddell is 48. Ortiz is 43. I mean, the big part I like about growing up in this sports era now is that we're seeing these people have so much longevity if they train right and eat right. But I didn't think it was that way in the UFC. I didn't think that was possible because it's a heavy pounding that you're taking. So do you think it's safe for these guys to be competing now? And do you think there is a correct way to go about competing into your 50s, really?
Oh, man.
I mean, are you going to come back? And you say you don't want to, but at 45, maybe 11
years old? I'm going to do some jiu-jitsu. I'm going to do some, jiu-jitsu competitions. My daughter, she does jiu-jitsu, and she goes, wait, I can compete now? I'm like, hey, you got your third stripe.
So you're going to compete?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm going to try and do the Onnit Open in December, actually. But my daughter, she's really, really smart. Like, I don't know where it came from, but she's incredibly smart. And she, like, put it together. She goes, wait, I can compete now. I can win a world title like you. I was like, yes.
you know, just made it so cheap.
She goes, you want to do it together? It's like, Fuck yeah.
Really? That would be awesome.
You know, she rolls just like I do. So, and I'm not a coach. I'm not one of those trophy dads. Yeah. I just watch and just twitch at my seat while she rolls.
That's got to be a proud moment, though, yeah. Where she's like, hey, we can do this together.
Every time she loses position, it's because she looks at me like, look what I did. I'm like, dude, don't do that. You know, I'm here. I'm looking at you. But back to Chuck and Tito. They're both old.
Yeah.
Tito has been competing recently a lot more than Chuck has over the last 8 years, obviously. And I've told Chuck, no. I'm like, no, man, I don't want you to fight. No, never. Well, I saw him recently, and I reinstilled my faith in him. I was like, dude, you look great. I was like, you're healthy, you're moving, you're limber, he's built like an orangutan, all arms and legs, and just this tiny little, like, pot belly, you know, rolled chest and butt belly. But looks great. I mean, we were just talking. I was like, wow, man, you're back. Like, wow, you look great. It was really, really nice to see one of my, you know, best friends and the guys that kind of brought me up in the world just to look so good at that age, too, especially. I'm like, oh, now I know you're going to beat up Tito.
Oh, so your money's on Liddell for this fight.
Oh, yeah, my money will always be on Chuck. He has the older brother thing over Tito. And Tito, we have, you know, he's helped me out in life recently. You know, he's been good to me. So thank you, Tito. But you're going to get knocked out. I'm sorry, man. You know.
So you see knockout.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That old man still hits hard.
Yeah.
I mean, if he hits harder than usual, he has a tendency to, we have a tendency to hit each other, so.
So what is
the... We're fun.
So what is the reasoning? Is it because, like, because even Mayweather is talking about getting back into the ring as far as boxing.
Wait, Mayweather is?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just missing it
yeah,
all, man.
Yeah, Pacquiao.
I've been so... These
Pacquiao,
midterm elections.
Canelo. Yeah. I don't think he... I mean, sure, actually, probably will be Canelo.
But do you think?
I hate to say that.
Do you think it's gonna? Do you think it's because, you know, once an athlete, always an athlete, or is it a money thing, or like, what do you think is the reasoning behind these older fighters getting back into, like, is because they don't have anything to do? You know, you're officially retired.
Yeah, that's part of it. It's because once you're a fighter, you're always a fighter. You know, I still get the itch where I'm so technical with things. I freak out over small details, and like, I'm like, you're doing it wrong, you know. But yeah, it's a weird position to be in, I guess. I'm trying to think, but where was I?
For myself, even when I watch certain things, I watch LFL. I watch track. It's like, oh, I think I can still.
Oh yeah,
go.
You always think you're going to be tough enough, but there's so much money involved for Floyd. You got to think he's the highest grossing athlete ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, and he'll go make more money. He fights Canelo, or even Pacquiao again. People are going to pay to watch. They're going to pay absurd
more
amounts of money.
Than I think.
I think Canelo would be a much bigger fight.
Yeah,
because Pacquiao, people will still watch it, but. I think Canelo might be a little too big and too dangerous at this point.
But I think the science is what it is. I think we actually have the science where we're like, oh, we can kind of preserve our joints a little bit longer. We have CBD.
Yes, but Floyd doesn't do that stuff. He eats McDonald's and doesn't give a shit.
Like, does he do any, like, cryo?
No,
does
he
do cryo?
McDonald's?
Yeah, you always see him always bragging, eating McDonald's. He'll go for a run and get McDonald's and run back. And I think he's doing cryo and stuff now.
Yeah,
okay,
and he gets massages and stuff like that.
You know what, though? I think he's always trained, though. I think he's always trained.
He's never stopped training.
He's still doing it. And actually, the masseuse I work with, Steve Hanoian, used to work with Floyd. He's got he's a very special man. This masseuse is the best masseuse on the planet, hands down.
Yeah.
He's worked with Floyd, Pacquiao, tons of people in the UFC, in the NFL, and MLB.
See, that's what it is. I don't think we had the science, the know-how, and then also a lot of these guys didn't have the money. Because, like, you think about the NFL, it wasn't until, what, 70s that the money started getting so big that they could afford the stuff?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So,
true.
So you have
but
a lot
you
of
still
guys
have some outliers with the NFL where it's like not all of them are making it to the career is still between two and – it might be 2 and 5 years now, whereas back in the day it's 2 and 3
well,
years.
Well, if you're talking about linemen and stuff like that, that's going to be
– Yeah.
But see, the linemen that make it make just as much money as all the quarterbacks.
Yeah,
because they're protecting them.
Yeah,
you know, and it's crazy because we'll see these like lists of people, the highest paid athletes. I'm like, who the fuck is that? And it's like, oh, you know, whatever. This
he
back.
Protects
that's
this
the guy.
Guy
that has the CTE that's
like,
going to deal with
it
a year from now.
And you know, again, if I can help the CTE thing, that's I keep like. Going, hey, I got something, you know, like I'm on to something here. Because it's not just my sport. Of course, I got to take care of my guys.
Yeah.
First and foremost. I mean, I got to take care of all the guys in the UFC. That has a trickle down effect. Mm-hmm. But then, why stop there? Number one, I'm helping other people. I mean, finances would be a lot nicer with the NFL and everyone else involved as well. But, you know, that takes a backseat. It's about making everyone feel better because, man, I went through it.
Yeah. And are they doing that research with CBD and CT? That CT is one of the toughest things because you don't know it till the person's dead, you know.
Mm-hmm. Again, the doctor from Harvard who spoke in front of the World Boxing Council, Leif. Yeah. I think it's Leif. I could have it totally wrong. But yeah, I mean, he's doing research at Harvard.
That's cool.
You know, so it's really coming around. That's the thing, and it works. If you, I'll have to send you guys some pain cream.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Like a big.
Yeah. Of course.
Well, yeah, she's training hard. She's training like she's got a fight coming up.
Well, I mean, it's just you want to stay in shape, but it's that. Because I have not as many injuries as you do, but I have injuries, and it's like that morning, and I'm trying to run in the morning because I used to run 5 miles in the morning, 5 miles at night. But getting out of bed. Like, you know, that little short walk to the bathroom and then trying to put your stuff out to go running. It's like, the bed. So that would be so helpful because I don't want to take the painkillers because I'm not an athlete, right? So it's just kind of like I don't want to put my body through all that. It's
funny how that works. When you're an athlete, you're like, sure, well, I'll take whatever. Give me some oxygen.
Yeah. Oh, you just want the pain to go away.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when, you know, me.
Most of the time. Yeah. Well, athletes are degenerates.
Yeah, they are. They are. It's like, just wrap me up and put some painkillers, and I'll run wherever you need me to.
Yeah, I'll run into that wall repeatedly. We're good.
And I got to ask you a little bit about your own bounce back, because you you had some trouble with drugs and what have you back in the day. But then I think you technically died, right?
I was dead, They told my brother I wasn't going to make it.
Yeah, and you came back. And how did you shift your focus from – and it was mainly like opioids and that kind
of
stuff.
You know what? It was just a combination of pills and just stupidity. I was sober for a while. And I was like, oh, this is an excuse to take pills. And then I took them and I died.
Yeah.
So – and I actually – people like, oh, I overdosed. Well, they let you out later that night. I aspirated. I died. I was in the hospital for like 10 days.
Yeah, wow.
So – and I sat there by myself because I didn't want to tell anybody for a while. I mean, my brother and my dad knew, and some girl that I was hanging out with. I was like, what are you doing here?
You're not part of this.
I call your girlfriend's here. I'm like, what? Girlfriend. But, I'm going to get shit for that. But, you know, it was just, it was bad. And, you know, again, I'm a single dad.
Yeah.
And I've been that way for a long time. And it's... You can't do stupid shit anymore.
Yeah.
Time to grow up sometime, Peter Pan.
So after that, you were just like, I'm done with this. Move forward. Because I feel like a lot of people are struggling.
I've had
with
surgeries
sort of and
had to
like
take painkillers since then.
Yeah.
I've had, I don't know how many surgeries since then. But.
So how do you cope or deal with that?
You just don't take as many, or you just don't. When they runs out, they run out. Don't go pick up more.
Yeah. So you just had to kind of get your mind right.
Got to be an adult. You know, adulting is hard. I know that.
Yeah, it sucks balls.
It does. I wasn't prepared for this, but the one thing that I know, even my dad, he's like, I don't, he's like, you know, he's always like, we shouldn't have these damn kids. And he goes, the one thing I know is that you're a good dad.
Yeah.
He's like, he's like, you're the best dad I know. I'm like, wow. Thank you. Yeah. Take pride in that.
That's awesome. And we actually have a few questions we'd like to ask. We call it our Fit Club 5.
Bring
them up. You know, rapid fire questions, just for the audience gets to know you. And I think TK is gonna.
I always say we need to put music in. I always say that right before we do the segment. Anywho, here we go. So last person you text.
The last person I text was Brad from BudTrader.com. Actually,
dream dinner guest.
Dream dinner guest. Bina. I don't know. Dasha's gonna listen to this, but
I'm trying to say this to do it now.
I'm like a UFC fighter.
What up?
It's
just some girl I'm chasing.
Okay.
I'm just
to Bina.
Shout out to Bina.
What up?
If you were on death row, what would be your last meal?
My last meal would be, Steak Diane. Steak Diane.
I've never even heard of that.
My family's all in Tahoe.
Yeah.
You know, and they're all at the upper crust of society. You know, live on the lake and beetle house, you know, they're all funny. But my grandpa was a degenerate gambler his whole life. So we always got, we got taken care of by, made a parking spot at Harris. Never left Tahoe. You know, all the you know, the planes our family flew around and all had a Caesars logo on it for some reason. But, you know, it's like being up there. I mean, you ever been to Tahoe?
Yeah.
Oh, it's such an amazing, magical place. You know, you get to, like, the lake, I think it's a bit better in the summer.
Oh, yeah, I went skiing, so yeah.
So you got to go in the summertime, it's way better.
Summer is where the parties are.
That's for everything. But there's a steakhouse up there that we always went to, and we always eat free at, you know, like, the hotels always ate completely free, so we get spoiled.
Yeah.
And this is, like, my favorite steak. So if they were going to kill me for, something. It'd probably be murder.
All right, then. And last question, if you can listen to what album would it be for the rest of your life?
The rest of my life. Oh, man. That's so hard. I'm such a fan of music, and I can't play a note to save my life. I can't sing, but I have a lot of friends in music. So it's like ranging from country to metal to rap to...
You don't get a mixtape. You get one.
I don't know where to go. I mean, I'd have to go back to my youth, and I'd have to get something like Stevie Ray Vaughan or something like that for my dad, just because that's like when I'll listen to my music and that'll pop up on Pandora or something. It's like, there it is. That's my youth. Yeah. That's my soul there. You know, it's old blues and rock and roll.
I think this might be the most insightful Fit Club Five we've had.
Oh, I can get real woo-woo. I got all kinds of... I do breathing techniques and Wim Hof and do all that kind of silly stuff. I love yoga.
Oh, my God. We did that in yoga class today.
Yeah,
oh,
we didn't talk enough about that, but I imagine... You having the stress thing that you have to deal with, then also fighting in the UFC, you got to have some really good sort of decompression techniques.
And breathing techniques were big for me. Cold therapy, heat therapy, building the cold shock proteins, heat shock proteins, diet, just everything combined. It's a real lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something interesting because I have to portray that because I'm doing the lifestyle. I'm being brought on as by the board of directors for BudTrader.com.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm going to, you know, run their lifestyle portion of it, or that's the plan. And how am I going to put that out on, you know, that's the thing I've been thinking about. I'm like, how am I going to make this healthy? Like, how am I going to show that, you know, in this culture that, like, I'm trying to show a different side of cannabis people.
Yeah.
You know, I've been around it my whole life.
Well, I think you've got this daughter who's obviously doing well as a result. So I think that's going to be a huge part of it.
And it's legal, and I see my friends. You know, like it's so much more open.
Yeah.
And like these are family people that they're not doing anything wrong. You know, they're just hanging out in their backyard. You know, and, like they're smoking in front of their kids. You know, but like it's just, I don't know. It's weird how the world's changing.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm trying to change with it, and I'm trying to be this. You know, kind of. I don't know how the moral mouthpiece for my sport. I don't know how that worked out. But just in general, just to provide good vibes and, you know, whether people are hating or not, it's like, who cares? Just be happy.
I mean, you're the best person to speak on it, too, because of the injuries and everything. Like, your life, we only did, like, 2%.
Oh, I got stories for days.
Yeah, a whole bunch of stories. And it's like, you're the best person. And also being in L.A., this is the best combination. You'll have the yoga moms who are experiencing a little bit of pain or stress or all this other stuff that weren't athletes, but they can you know, empathize, and it makes sense.
Of course.
So.
Yeah. And I can tell you, I'm not a big fan of the current administration, but the one thing that I've seen that we might all agree on is Trump doesn't really seem to be against marijuana, doesn't seem to be against CBD. I know Sessions is not
yet.
So great.
We'll see.
No, but this seems to be at least one area that I think the administration could be moved on.
Well, I'll
have more hope.
I'll throw this out there.
Yeah.
So, again, this is another big reason why I work with my childhood best friend.
Yeah.
We were eight, we were best friends. Myself and Brad McLaughlin from BudTrader.com. He just went out with our state senator, Rohrabacher? Okay.
Yeah.
And he calls Brad and he goes, "Hey, Brad, I need you to save the world," you know, or whatever he said to him. And Brad flew out and met Trump, calling all the people in Congress, and talked cannabis reform.
Yeah.
I mean, Brad was raised to be a politician. I don't know if people know that, but you know, he's running this amazing company, and he's really, like, he plans on changing the world. And I'm like, wow, man, you're talking to the president, you're talking to his son, you're talking to, not like that matters, but you know, just you're getting the whole thing, and you're out in Washington D.C. like actually making moves and telling these people like they're wrong, they need to like give kids their medicine or people or anyone. Just you can't keep this from people, and everyone knows now.
Yeah,
the secret's out. You
exactly.
know, it's like you know, you watch Reefer Madness, and you're like, oh my god, how did you guys really? You guys really believe this?
I do think they're going to wait until some of these big corporations can get their hands into it more than course. The mom and pops. But I do think it's going to happen. But I think they're waiting for, okay, you guys ready? Okay, cool.
Yeah, now there's steps. Yeah. In addition to...
Yeah, because like Coke did the CBD deal.
Yeah, they got the big in Canada, right?
So first you have CBD, and then whether those companies... Because you know, that's all through hemp.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need any THC. And the, you know, the difference is really silly. It's 0.01. you know, but... These big companies are latching on, and it's bound to happen. Whatever, cool. You're putting good things in your bad drink.
Like, yeah.
All right, good for you. I don't know. Like, I just have to go. All right. Like,
well, you're out there fighting the good fight, and we're just so happy that you could join us and kind of give us a little insight to what's going on. Because I'm actually way more excited about it now that I know it's like actually happening, actually being changed. So that's great.
Yeah, we are. I mean, on a few levels, you know. I'm trying to change, you know, my sport for the better. And like I said, sure, I just got off work. I just got off training people and you know, living the lifestyle. But on the outside, I came straight from work to here to talk to you guys. And then I got to go to a party to hang out and celebrate Cheech from Cheech and Chong for his many accomplishments.
We need to hang out. We all got to go. Yeah, we need to.
That'd be fun.
Was it Steak Diana?
Well, yeah.
Tahoe? Well, I mean, well, this is.
Like I said, I've been a spoiled little bitch my whole life.
Well, once again, I just got to thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'll come on anytime. And again, once things lighten up, or not lighten up, once they actually happen. You know, once the certifications take place, and then Jeff is going to walk me through some other big things. And I'd love to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to.
That's good.
We didn't have enough time. Again, guys, thank you so much. My name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
And you can find me on everything at TK Trinidad.
And where can they find you?
At Uncle Creepy MMA.
See you guys next week.
Ciao.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagrammy, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.